Greetings. This is Rish out. Ooh, do you hear that? Happy crappy? It's me driving off the road. Guess you can't podcast and drive at the same time. Or chew gum, I've been told. This is Rish Outfield, and you are listening to the Rish Out Cast. And, I think this is going to be one of those episodes again. And the upside to that is that it means I won't be editing it for a long, long time. But I'm just leaving the family cabin by myself. And I was really surprised by how sad I was to be leaving. It surprised me. I meant to come up like on a Thursday midday, but I got delayed. I didn't finish my work in time, the noon hour, like I had planned, and so I didn't end up getting out until about 4 o'clock. And then my plan had been just to spend the night, to spend Thursday night, come back sometime on Friday. But in the back of my mind, I thought, well, you know, I don't have anything going on Saturday, so I could come back Saturday if I wanted to. And today, I kept asking myself, do I want to spend another day or do I want to go home? And ultimately, I didn't want to go home, although I'm doing it. I'm making myself do it. It was really a good trip. All of this has passed, I would think. The episodes that I was editing, the things that I recorded, I sat down and I forced myself to go through this story that I just finished recently, like within the last 10 days, and polish it, get it all formatted, you know, with tabs and italics where they're supposed to be italics instead of all caps, because I usually just write things in all caps in my first draft. And I forced myself to finish it. You know, I was like, you're going to do this. I worked my ass off making sure I had that done. And then I was doing a story for the Dune Steve, and unfortunately there were a couple of lines that somebody sent us that didn't work. The sound dropped out on them. But other than that, I finished that story, which means that Big and I can do an episode of it next Monday, and we'll have another episode. I finished another Rish Outcast, and I started working on Delusions of Grandeur, which is the show that I do with Marsha Latham about Star Wars. And I worked on it for over an hour and then saved the file. And I was only 22 minutes into the file. Now, how that is possible, I don't know. But that was the case. And I realized, well, I could continue and I could make myself finish this episode, but it'll be the rest of the day. The sun will be down by the time I finish. I don't know if I told this story, but I will tell. I brought a book with me. It was a library book, and so the clock is ticking on how long I have that checked out. And I thought to myself, you know, I could spend another night. I could finish The Delusions of Grandeur, and I could read for hours and finish this book if I wanted to. I got a new book and it's out in the car. I could start on that. I threw it in the car just in case I finished the one that I have, because you never know. I have it so much easier that whoever you are, no matter your circumstances, you could be listening to this in prison and I have it easier than you do. Wait, but of course I have it easier than a guy in prison. Okay, let me think the opposite of that. You could be pretty and make your living being flown to exotic locations like Milan and Venice and Boise and get pictures taken of yourself. And I still have it easier than you. I have this family cabin that nobody uses on the weekdays. And I have a schedule where I can go up during the week. And there's nobody there. And I can go anytime I want. And it's comfortable. It's isolated. There's no distractions. I always get work done. Like I said, I have it so good. Feel free to resent me. God knows I do. Yeah, to be able to say, look, I could spend an extra night if I want. And if I don't want, you know, I could go home. I see those people, they're retired usually, couples, and they sell their house and they buy an RV. And they decide, well, we're just going to drive around. We're going to explore exotic places like Boise. You know, they'll say, okay, now what do you want to do? We could go south to Utah. We could go east to Montana. We could go west to Rhode Island, whatever is west of Idaho. We don't have to be anywhere. We can go where we want, when we want. Or we can just stay here. And I hear that, and it's such a romantic idea. Being able to go where you want, if you want. Doesn't that sound cool? So, like I said, I'm very fortunate. My dad and my uncle and my brother built this cabin, and I have it available for my use. And the shadow of my dad looms large over this cabin. There's a picture. It is the picture that we used at his funeral, and it's been affixed to the wall of the cabin. He's always present, I guess is one way to say. My dad loved John Wayne, the cowboy actor, and there are pictures of John Wayne all over the cabin, and I could do without those. But there's my dad's presence in the cabin, and I've made a lot of mistakes over the years in my life, and will continue to make them, obviously. But growing up, I just couldn't, please my dad. Nothing I did was good enough for my dad. And like I said, when he passed away, I knew that, you know, I had not done anything to make him proud of me. And now he was gone. And the two of us barely got along. I feel like we got along a little bit better in the last 2 years of his life. But we were never friends, and I could never, there you go, the specter of my dad, his shadow loomed large. I could never get out from under his shadow. When I was here the last time with my family, my nephews were here, and my sister, and my mom, and my niece, and we were trying to put together this raft to go out on the lake, and It was a big job. One summer, I inflated the raft and got it all put together and just left it inflated the whole summer. Left it in the backyard because it was so much work to get ready to go that I didn't want to have to go through that again. And my nephews, both of them, didn't want to help. They were happy to do anything but help me. And I became my dad during that. You know, I was like, okay, help me wash the mud off of these seats that go in the raft. Now, where did that kid go? He went off to play video games or whatever he wanted to do. And I became my dad. I was angry at them and yelling at them to get their butts back down here and help. And I remembered when I was a kid, how my dad would just, he was so disgusted with me. He would refer to me as your no good brother to my little brother. Don't be like your no good brother. And that stayed with me. That, you know, was one of those things. It was like, I'm not going to be that guy. My dad was not affectionate, and I try to be affectionate. My dad was not generous with praise. It was hard to earn his approval, his praise. And so I try to, like I fished a drawing that my nephew did, a seven-year-old, out of the garbage. And I put it on the fridge. And then my sister threw it in the garbage again. And I put it on the fridge. But I became my dad in that moment with my nephews. And I was furious with them, like every time, because it took forever to get this crap going. I mean, you have to put the oars together. And the oars are several pieces. I'd say like 6 or 7 pieces each. And there are multiple oars. And there are all these parts that you have to inflate. And how do you do it? And seats that you put in. Again, I recognize that I have a raft that's really cool. My sister got it for me for Christmas one year, like 2015 or so. And lots of people don't have a raft. But every time I saw those kids step away or run away to go hide, to go do whatever they wanted instead of help me, I was angry. Like my dad would be angry. You know, just wait until your father gets home is something that you see on sitcoms, that you see on television or whatever. And I lived in fear of hearing that from my mom. She endeared herself to me through the years when I would screw up by saying, I'm going to do what I can so your dad doesn't hear about this. And yet, I see that in myself. A lot of the disgust I have for myself is my dad. It's the shadow of my dad. But the difference is, I recognize that I am a screw-up and that I have the tendency to be lazy, and I've burned practically every bridge I've ever had. I'm not who I could be. I'm not my best self. So, you know, having a voice in the back of your head that speaks to you from time to time, in my dad's voice, could be good. Motivates me to get off my butt and do something. And it certainly did on this trip, because I started reading a couple of times. Then I would find myself dozing off. And my dad's voice would be like, get off your butt. It is 12 noon and you're taking a nap. You know, that kind of thing. There's this old saying, and it's probably mean-spirited, that, you know, every girl eventually becomes her mother. Every boy eventually becomes their father. And I see it in me from time to time, and I recoil. And my dad had good qualities as well. He had a great work ethic, and he was not afraid to get his hands dirty. He wanted to do things himself. He didn't want to depend on other people. These were things that I should aspire to in myself. My dad was educated, and he liked to read. Both of my parents liked to read, and those are admirable things. But I'm not sure that that's what this episode is about. What prompted this was I had two options of what I was going to do on the drive home as far as podcasting goes. I knew I made just enough space on my recorder so that I would have an episode. I knew I would be recording, and I thought, okay, I've got two possible topics. And the topic that I kind of wanted to do was to talk about Warren Zevon, you know, the rock singer. I have this tradition every time I go to the cabin by myself to listen to Warren Zevon's Roland the Headless Thompson Gunner. And I missed it the last time. I had already turned my computer off, and I thought, oh no, it's my tradition. And so I sang Roland was a warrior from the land of the midnight sun, his Thompson gun for hire, fighting to be done. I don't know why I'm telling you this, because eventually I'm going to do that episode, and you'll have to hear me do that again, butcher that song. Just remember to, you know, unsubscribe, block, unfriend, whatever you call that. I wanted to do an episode about that, because Warren Zevon is a big part of coming to the cabin. For the very first time I ever came to the cabin by myself, I had just discovered that song, and there you go. And I wanted to talk about him and coming to appreciate him and wishing that I had been a fan of Warren Zevon's when I had the chance to tell him in Los Angeles what his music meant to me. But I only knew him as the Werewolves of London guy. So preview of coming attractions there. But the other thing that I kept thinking about was, you know, was my dad. And I had this experience the other day, and I felt like it was noteworthy, even though it's not. It's not going to be a good story. You're going to think, wow, why did you waste 3 minutes of my life with this? But when I lived in LA, I went to this costume shop. I wanted to go all out for Halloween one year. And there was a costume rental shop. And at the line for the costume rental shop, there was a sign, a handmade sign that said, please be aware, if you are talking on your cell phone, you will not be helped. And I thought that was the coolest thing ever, because this was still fairly early in the ubiquity of cell phones. But they outstayed their welcome long before then. And you know, you get the stereotype of like the loud Los Angelino talking in their cell phone. You know, it's like, oh yeah, babe. Totally. I was on La Cienega for like 22 minutes. Can you believe it? I don't know that that's a good impression, but you get the gist, I think. And I thought, wow, this sign is great. Because we had all been in a line before, behind somebody that's on their cell phone and they're engrossed in the conversation and they don't walk forward. And it's their turn and you're like, oh, sir, sir. And it's like, some asshole is bugging me. What is it? You're like, it's your turn. We had all been through that. And I just thought, this sign is the coolest thing. And later, because I was in LA for a few years, other businesses started putting up signs like this. I'm sure the costume shop was not the first to do it. But they were the first I saw, and I would see these signs all over, and I appreciated the hell out of it. And so the other day I was talking to Big on my cell phone, and I was at a store, and it was one of those stores where there are multiple registers, and somebody at each of the registers, and there is a person, like an assistant manager or something, whose job it is to tell everybody in the line, okay, go to number 4, they're ready for you on number 2. And I was talking to Big, and the line just didn't seem to be moving. And I noticed this manager, and he was singling people out behind me in the line and telling them to go to register 3. Okay, they're ready for you over at 1. And finally, I was just like, oh, Big, just a second, man. And I said, hey, what's going on? I was here before them. And the manager said to me, yeah, but you're on your cell phone, sir. And I was aghast because I realized I had become what I most despise. There you go. There's this part in Star Trek, The Undiscovered Country, where Mr. Spock realizes that they've been doing this too long. And they're set in their ways. And he says to Captain Kirk, is it possible that we have become so old that we have outlived our usefulness? That 6th Star Trek movie is brave because they paint Captain Kirk and Spock to a much lesser degree, but they paint him in a rather ugly brush. And I feel like it's Nicholas Meyer building on what he did in Wrath of Khan, where a lot of what happens in Wrath of Khan is Kirk's fault. And certainly the lives that he loses on board the Enterprise might not have been lost if he had been less pig-headed, if he had been less, you know, he learns a lesson in that movie. And then in the 6th movie, we discover that there's a bias and a racism in Captain Kirk. And gosh, I could talk about that for a half an hour. William Shatner had been playing Kirk for 25 years at this point, and he felt like he knew what the character was, and he sort of pushed back against Nicholas Meyer, saying, Captain Kirk would not say this. The lines that you've given Captain Kirk here, you know, that's not who he is. And there was this part at the very beginning of the movie where Spock goes to Kirk and he tells him that the Klingon Empire is crumbling, and that if the Federation doesn't step in and assist them, they will die. And in the script, Nicholas Meyer had written, let them die. That is Kirk's response. And Shatner didn't want to say it. Because if you ever watched that TV show, the 1966 Star Trek, Captain Kirk was perfect. He was a paragon. He was just a good, square-jawed, all-American Canadian hero. And of course Shatner was protective of this character. And he felt like that is racist, that is hateful, that is small-minded, that is not Captain Kirk. And Nicholas Meyer said, okay, well look, Bill, what would you do instead? And Shatner said, I'll say the line, but immediately after I want to regret it and take it back. Show Spock that I didn't mean it. And so later when those words are used against Kirk, they're taken out of context. And so Nicholas Meyer said, okay, do it. And Spock says, they are dying, Jim. And Kirk says, let them die. No, I didn't mean that, Spock. And when Nicholas Meyer edited the film, he cut out the part that Shatner wanted to do. So he got his way. Kirk says, let them die. And it's such a good moment in that film. I realize I've just talked for minutes about Star Trek. And I would have been better off talking about Warren Zevon. But unless you're perfect, unless you're like Captain Kirk was on the Star Trek television series, the time will come when you look at yourself and you're not thrilled with what you have become, with who you are right now. Now, some people can take that as a life-changing experience and say, no, I am going to slam on the brakes and I'm going to go the opposite direction. I'm going to change who I am. Ebenezer Scrooge did it toward the end of his life. And some people, maybe a lot of people, they have that moment and they say, yeah, that's who I am. It's too late to change now. And sometimes they double down on it. And they say, oh, you just called me a villain. You're going to see what a villain is. And it's up to you in your life to decide what you do when you realize, okay, I don't like where I am. I don't like who I am. I don't like what I'm doing. I don't like who I see in the mirror right now. Believe me, there have been plenty of times when I recognize that, like the Bruce Springsteen song goes, I took a wrong turn, and then I just kept going. Like a river that don't know where it's flowing. I took a wrong turn, and I just kept going. Spock. As a writer, sometimes I toy with having my characters do things that aren't 100% likable, or, you know, I don't write a lot of, you know, that gritty anti-hero stuff. There's the television series of The Punisher, Marvel's The Punisher, that's on Netflix, and there's so many times that I am just frustrated by how mean he is, by how nasty a guy Frank Castle is. You know, it just, he's somebody that doesn't need friends. He doesn't need anything. He is sure of what he's doing, and it's ugly, and I want him to be softened, and I want him to have friends, and I want him to smile. And that's not who the Punisher is. I recognize that. But I still, it's my nature. What's with the sneering? We want to like you. That kind of thing. I always wanted to sit down with Abigail Hilton and have a conversation on this show about what makes a hero and how flawed can your hero be before they cease to be a hero. Because every once in a while, she will have a character do something and I wince and I think, if I were writing this, I would not allow my character to do that. Because it's, what's with the sneering? We want to like you. You know, that again. And I would love to talk with her about how far can you go? Have you ever gone too far and been like, nope, we're not going to do that? It hits really close to home with me because I'm so aware of my own flaws. And they're myriad. They are legion, boys and girls. And sometimes it feels like, well, there's just too much. So I'm just going to lean into my flaws and F you. And I know that that's probably not the right way to go. One of the reasons that I so enjoy having this podcast is because I have somebody to talk to. I have somebody to tell these stories to. Now that Big Yankovic moved away and my buddy Jeff moved away, I don't interact with people as much as I used to. People that know me, people that are okay with, you know, who I am. And so I have you as well. And I can tell the stories here. And then also, I can tell you about when I have struggled, when I went months without writing and I just didn't want to, when I have set a goal and failed, and I feel like there are people that want me to succeed. They are, if not friends in the way that Jeff or Big are allies. How's that? One of the things that I set a goal for myself on this trip was, and granted, look, I had 24 hours, right? I got to the cabin about the time it is right now, yesterday. And so that's less than 24. But one of the things that I wanted to do was my story, The Calling, that I put out, gosh, I don't know how long ago now, 7 or 8 years. I wrote a sequel to it and I never published it. And it was one of the things that I've set as a goal, I think 3 months in a row, is okay, get to work on that. Let's put that out there. And then you can go on to another project. I keep not doing it because I am weak. I'm afraid of failure. And there are many factors. But it's cool to have this show where I can say, okay, I'm going to do that. You've heard me say I'm going to do that. And so I sat down last night and I recorded the first, I don't know, 3 pages or something like that. And I put it on an episode that's already aired as an outtake for the people who support me on Patreon. It's like, here you go, guys. Now it's out there. Don't let me forget to do this. I did that ambition episode when I was coming back from San Diego Comic-Con. I want to say that was 2015. Could have been 2016. I don't know. I don't remember. Could have been 2014. And I was aware then, as I am now, that sometimes I'm less ambitious than I should be. I'm content to sleep in just a little longer, do just a little bit less. And I really admire the people that somehow make themselves go the extra mile, make themselves do a little bit more. Back in the Dunstief days, Big Yankovic told me about a fellow podcaster that Big had gone to their blog or Big had listened to them on their podcast, and they said, I've set a goal for myself to stop being a consumer and only be a producer. So I've stopped watching television shows, I've stopped reading books, and I'm going to focus on writing and publishing and podcasting 100%. And when he told me that, and pardon me for saying this, but I thought, wow, what an asshole. There is a reason I'm saying this, but I do hope you forgive my brusqueness here. I took it as like, you know, one of those people that's on a diet and says, I don't ever drink soda. I don't ever drink anything fatty. Or somebody that, you know, is in really good shape. That says, I don't ever go to bed without having run on the treadmill. Or I get up at 6 a.m. so I can go to the gym before work. I would rather die than eat a potato chip. Or a crisp, Chris, for you. And I felt like that he was bragging, that he was being a tool. And instead of taking it as, wow, maybe I should do that a little bit more. Maybe I should dedicate myself more to my art than to just gobbling up whatever comes my way. Instead of that, I was a jerk about it. And if you know who I'm talking about, he died. When he said, for the next little while, I'm going to be a producer instead of a consumer, he hadn't told people that he was dying. But that's why he did it. He wanted to leave something. And that has bothered me ever since, that I reacted so negatively toward this guy, toward what he said, instead of taking it to heart. And instead of saying, yeah, I'm going to work just a little bit harder too. But when we came to the cabin that last time, the time with the raft, it was a bunch of us. It was my mother, my sister, her husband, her three kids, my sister's kid, her boyfriend, my brother-in-law's kid and his girlfriend. They had all come, and me. There are just way too many people for one cabin. And everybody was there to have fun, except for my mom, who was there to clean the cabin. And they would play video games. All the young people would play video games for hours and hours and hours and hours. And the whole time, I sequestered myself in the corner and I worked on podcasts. And I guess I'm saying, I would never eat a potato chip. Maybe it sounds that way. I don't mean that that's what I'm saying. What I mean to say is that I became what I most despised. And in this case, good. You know, I'm not going to say terrified, but I am afraid of reaching the end of my life and saying, what do I have to show for it? What have I accomplished? What have I done? Why didn't I do more? Why couldn't I have worked just a little bit harder, pushed myself just a little bit more? Big Anklevich, my friend Big Anklevich, is completely focused on getting in shape right now. And he won't eat certain days of the week. And he would never eat a potato chip or drink a soda, etc., etc. He's been tracking his weight loss, and it's startling and very impressive. And except for the occasional diet soda that I drink almost as a punishment to myself, it's like, did you write last night? No, you didn't. Diet soda for you. I make no efforts to improve myself physically. It's sad. It's too bad. But you can't do everything. Big is focused on weight loss, and he's focused on doing YouTube videos. And so other things kind of have to fall by the wayside. And I own a bicycle, and I have been known to ride the bicycle around as exercise. But you can't do videos and write and read and exercise and spend time with your family and go to work and maintain your friendships and podcast. You kind of have to pick here and there what you want to do, and I have picked this. I've picked podcasting right now. I could do better, definitely. But I could do a heck of a lot worse. And so I'm happy with this trip to the cabin. I'm happy with the things that I accomplished. I'm thrilled with the chapters of the book that I read. It just, reading is something that I enjoy, and it's really cheap, since I usually just check out the books from the library, but I don't do it as often as I would like. And I'm happy that I got some reading done. I'm happy that I finished that story. I had set it as a goal for the Halloween episode of the Rish Outcast. But in finishing it up yesterday, you know, formatting it and all that stuff, I realized it'll probably have to be two episodes. And so maybe I should have been recording a second episode right now. No worries. I'm glad that I finished that. And I'm glad that I went to the cabin. That's something that I didn't really elaborate on. At the very beginning of this podcast, I said that as I was leaving the cabin, I felt sad. And that sadness was because the summer is over. Because I'm not going to be able to come out here anymore really soon. And it was cold last night. I kept checking the temperature. We've got a thermometer on the wall, and it shows what the temperature is outside the cabin and shows what the temperature is inside the cabin. And when I first got there, it was 56 degrees inside the cabin and 53 degrees outside the cabin. But I kept checking it as I tried to warm up the cabin. I built a fire. And yes, the shadow of my dad. That photograph of my dad there in the corner was so disgusted with me of how many times I started the fire and then it went out. It's just like, did I never teach you how to build a fire? What is wrong with you? I built this fire, and once I finally got it going, it warmed everything up. The last time that I checked the thermometer, it was 36 degrees outside, and it had gotten to like 68, 69 inside the cabin. But 30s is cold. I mean, I thought 50s was cold. But today, as soon as I woke up, now I fell asleep around 4 o'clock in the morning. I like I said, I was doing a lot of editing, and then I sat down and I started reading, and it was late. But the fire went out sometime during the night, and when I woke up, the sun was coming up and it was warm again. And it got to about 70 degrees during the day, and that's fine. That's great. That's, you know, it's perfect, really, up in the mountains. And so when I had to go home, I was just like, shoot, there's not going to be a lot more days like this. And my mom and I share this, I don't want to say hatred for, I'm going to say fear of the winter. She'll just get sad, melancholy when the leaves start to change because she knows that winter is coming. And I have inherited that. And so I was sad when I was leaving, knowing that winter is coming. Now, I'm almost at the end of my recording. I've got to bring this to a halt. But I feel like this was a really successful trip. And there's nothing to stop me from doing it again next Thursday or the Thursday after that, as long as I've not got anything going on Friday. And so I think I will. As long as I can come up and do this, I become productive. I become ambitious. And so it's a good place. It's a magical place. And if my father's shadow hangs over that cabin in that way, then that shadow is a good thing. Or it contributes to a good thing. I want to work harder and I want to be better. And I hope that you do too. Thank you for listening to me. Go on and on and on and on and on.
Okay, thank you.
And on.
Stop it.
And on and on and on.
I've been Rishout Field, and there will be more to come. Take care.
Hello, this is fake Sean Connery. Rish is over at his rarely functioning computer, toiling on the next episode. Look at him. So sad. So deluded to think that what he does matters, that anyone cares.
I can hear you.
I'd almost feel sorry for him, if I weren't a figment of his fevered imagination.
Will you do the license already?
Yes, yes. The show you have just listened to is produced under what's known as a Creative Commons 3.0 license, in which you are free to download and share the files as you like, but you cannot change them, take credit for them, or attempt to sell them. I wouldn't take credit for them either.
Fake Sean, if you're not going to help...
Ah, I've hurt his feelings. Look, the lad tries so hard. I see him literally working on podcasts every single day of the week. And for what?
To be insulted by a bald, geriatric ex-celebrity?
So listen, if you appreciate any of what that silly sod does, I advise you to head on over to Patreon and support him. You can give him $1 an episode, can't you? Can't you spare one bloody dollar, you selfish pig-headed ingrate? The boy works his wee fingers to the bone. I'm just saying, the boy works hard for the money. So hard for you, honey. Couldn't you toss a pound or two his way to keep the ennui from overtaking him?
It's already got me.
If any of what he does has ever made you laugh or feel better about yourself, and it most certainly does me, please support the lad. Is that better?
Yeah, I guess.
Natalie Whitmore made her way to the upper floor of the bookstore. Natalie Whitmore made her way to the upper floor of the used bookstore. Oh, Whitmore Floor Store. Beginning to suspect that this was all just a prank.
But if a lodger needs a drink, quietly bring her or him one. Quietly bring her or him one. Quietly bring her or him one. Quietly bring her, quietly bring him or her one. Quietly bring her or him one.
She gestured at the refrigerator at the back of the employee lounge.
I am very choosy about whom I hire. I am not easily impressed by a pretty face.
I don't like Mrs. Bice.
You're not supposed to.
Natalie found out what it was all about her second. That's a rhyme. Mason was a hopeless, geeky sort. Mason was a hopelessly geeky sort. Mason was a hopelessly geeky sort. I fucked up my voice.
This is the last worthless evening.
Mason was a hopelessly geeky sort.
Geeky.
Geeky sort. All right, I'm 7 minutes in. I haven't accomplished a goddamn thing.